Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
What's the first thing you'd do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Hey, John, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Hey, my pleasure. Best time of year. I feel like I was on a show earlier today with a former football player as a host, and I told him, I said, this is like the time where it's basically the same as football is all year round. Like, we are talking about basketball on a level that we talk about football all year round. So us hoops guys are pretty happy that we're relevant. Like, hey, it's really nice to be relevant right now.
Yeah, look, the way sports operates in the calendar, this is an amazing time of year, and you're 100% correct as we get ready to march towards Phoenix, Arizona. I talked about Clemson and Arizona. Let's get back to them. I know last week up in Brooklyn, you called a couple of games. You called a bunch of games.
Yep.
And one of those teams that is moving on and is going to play after Clemson and Arizona, about 30 minutes, 20 minutes after that, is UConn in San Diego State. You know, watching UConn up close and personal, are they really going to run roughshod through everybody? What did you observe with your two eyes in front of you?
Well, what I observed is if they can get out of the East, they're probably going to win a national championship because they'll be tested by a number of different styles. And the truth is their depth and versatility has held up. I mean, they're the thing that we got to point out is they're different than last year's UConn team. I mean, they're a different team last year. I mean, yeah, you lose Jordan Hawkins, Andre Jackson. Of course, like, you lose some key players, Adama Sanogo. So you're not going to be the same team. So you've got to be willing to adapt. But you're going to adapt with the same culture that you've got. You're going to adapt with the consistency of your coach because he has been incredibly consistent. So they're a little different. They brought in Cam Spencer, who I think has been a tremendous, tremendous pickup. The kid's just a flat-out winner. He can play kind of three to four different positions. He just fills a lot of holes, and he makes you a good team. So they're playing with a different kind of pace. They stop trying to throw the ball inside all the time. They're playing Klinger as a lob guy a lot of the times. They're doing a lot of different things. I think they're one of the toughest teams to figure out, and it's not that they're dictating the game. They're finding the game as they play. And then their different rotations are different. You know, they can go 9, 10, 11 deep. And every time they change their rotation, there are different tendencies that you got to prepare for. So I don't really know how you prepare for that team. I think all you can do is hope that they turn it over, hope that they miss shots, and hope that they don't get offensive rebounds. But that's a lot of hope when it comes this time of year, because that is a ridiculously good team playing some of their best basketball, too, at this point.
John Crispin from Westwood One NCAA Radio is joining us. Having said that, John, when you take a look at the rest of the field and who's left out of the other 15, who do you think would give them their best run for the money?
Man, it's got to be someone that's incredibly disruptive but can score. And no, I think Houston comes to mind. And frankly, like, first off, I think one of the toughest teams, probably the two toughest teams, is Iowa State and Illinois. I mean, so that's why I say if they can get out of the East, I feel like they should win the national championship. I really do feel like Houston could be that incredibly disruptive team, but then you got Purdue looming. And the more I look at Purdue, the more I realize that they're different too. right? They don't just immediately throw the ball inside. It's obvious that they do. But how they get it there puts you in a bad spot, right? You get chasing the guards around the perimeter. They play Edie as a trail guy in the initial transition break. The four runs that runs the paint. He occupies the rim and then vacates, and then Zach Edie trails the play. It's a really brilliant system. So you force everybody to collapse and cover your four. Then he vacates, and you play drag ball screens in transition with Zach Edie. He rolls to the paint, holds the seal. There's so many things that you just can't prepare for because they have so many options within their offense. And those young guards that struggled last year, they've grown up quite a bit. So it's like you look at Purdue and you look at Houston and you watch these teams, you go, all right, can they be disruptive enough? Well, I think Houston can. I don't know if Purdue can be disruptive enough defensively to really slow down the UConn attack because it'll force Purdue in more of an up-and-down game. And in that sense, I don't know if that's one that Purdue can win. So it might be Houston with their pace, their intensity, but – you know, Jamal Shedd, LJ Cryer, they got to be scorers. Those guys probably got to combine for 40-plus points if they're going to beat a team like UConn, because that's that next step for Houston, right? They were a defensive team. They're still a defensive team. But in the NCAA tournament, man, you still got to score more than your opponent to advance.
No doubt about it. Well, John, a team that Houston has to get by is Duke. You saw them last week. I remember actually calling some games for the junior NBA, looking at some of their best prospects, Bronny James, and one young man that I really remember, Kyle Filipowski. Yeah. And to see what he is doing right now, what impresses you about him? Because he was beating up kids when I saw him. He's like 15 years old.
You know, it's one of the most impressive things was his first game, the round of 64 game that everybody kind of got on his case about. He took one shot. He might have had 4 points, hit four assists. And everybody's saying, you know, Kyle Filipowski laid a dud. And I kind of laughed at it. I was like, well, you clearly didn't watch the game, because what I saw was a guy that deferred because he was getting doubled. So if you're getting doubled and if you can pass, you then create an advantage for your team. Right, you welcome the double team. They have to double Kyle Filipowski because he's got that advantage. Most teams switch. You find the matchup. He goes in the post. You throw it inside. They double. Once he's able to pass out of the double, Duke's at an advantage. So I think Kyle Filipowski showed an unselfishness that he was going to sacrifice his own game and his own points to be able to create opportunities for his teammates. And sure enough, the next game rolls around, and you got JMU where they've got to be tough. It's going to be a physical matchup. They're kind of challenging their toughness. Well, he wasn't going to get double-teamed, so he had his way. So it's kind of a pick-your-poison type thing. And the other thing is, he played well, and so did Jared McCain. In terms of making shots, they're able to space the floor. They play five guys who can really play outside in. Duke was probably, I would say, outside of UConn's dominance, Duke was the most impressive team to me, because they showed that whatever you take away, they have options. And that JMU team, I'm telling you, JMU was as tough as I've seen in a long time. JMU actually reminded me a lot of Louisville when they won the national championship with Rick Pitino. Yes, they were a little hacky, and I say that, and it doesn't mean like I don't like that. That's just how they play. They get their hands on you. If you dribble the basketball, they're going to try to take it away. They may take half your arm, but that's what they do all game. That's what they did against Wisconsin. John Shire was completely prepared for it. He challenged those guys, and they responded. They were the aggressor for 40 minutes against JMU, and it was one of the more impressive performances. I think it's one of those things that kind of slid under the radar because it was JMU, and it wasn't a big name. But the reality was Duke looked as good as anybody. Now, they're going to have one heck of a game to get through Houston, because all they're going to deal with is constant disruption. Now, I will tell you, the best thing they can do is run pick-and-roll situations, welcome the double team, pass out of that double and let Kyle Filipowski on a short roll play 4-on-3. Nobody wants to do it because it's a risk, right? To welcome a double team that that Houston likes to put on you, they just ambush you with a double team. But if you can pass out of it, you've got an advantage. I think that's something Duke will explore.
Yeah, Filipowski's fundamentals are
it's unreal.
Yeah, it just makes the right play just about every time. John Crispin is joining us. Calls the games here, Westwood One NCAA Radio. You mentioned Pitino and Louisville, and it got me thinking. We know Louisville just hired their new head coach in Kelsey, and we know also even earlier in the week, we can look at another blue blood school in Kentucky and what's going on with John Calipari. We could think about a lot of the other coaches that have decided to up and leave over the past few years. Is it just NIL? What do you think about this new era and the new blood that we have in coaching in college?
You know, it's interesting. It's NIL, it's transfer portal. I think the transfer portal in the COVID year might be worse than NIL. I think NIL is just a challenge. You know, I think it's something that we're trying. Yeah, NIL is something we got to learn how to get comfortable with and at some point find some sort of, like, you know, middle ground that makes sense but is also sustainable. Like, the way it is right now, it's not sustainable for anybody. It's not sustainable for the Power 5 teams, and it sure is not sustainable for any of those kind of, you know, mid-level conferences, let alone low-level Division I. We've got to figure out the NIL, but the number one thing to me is just the constant movement of players. Like, how do you continue to build culture, build a winner, establish an identity, but also develop kids with accountability and good habits? I think that's something we're sacrificing. And truth be told, I really do believe, because, look, it can be the right thing to do in theory. Again, the way we're going about it, I don't think we did it right. But it could be both right and horrible at the same time. And I think that's what we're experiencing. You know, we put a big Band-Aid on this situation, which was, let's just do NIL and transfer portal. Yet we really didn't put any real rules to it. We just said, go. You know, it's the Wild West, and we handed everybody a revolver. You know, it's... So I think it's something that we're going to have to bob and weave a little bit. But the biggest challenge is schools that you've got guys that have been to four, now five different. I mean, I've had guys that have been to four different schools, five different schools. There's no continuity within programs. You know, players, yeah, they figure each other out to a degree. But to execute on a level that is, you know, go to a Final Four, win a national championship, it comes down to the guys that have been playing together. And I think that's what's going to be exposed in this. You know, why does Kentucky lose? They don't know each other, and they don't know how to play together. And I think Cal, over the years, has benefited from talent, yet now he's got to act like an overseas professional coach where year in, year out, you've got a new group and you've got to manipulate them to play well together. That is a challenge that I don't think anyone's really figured out yet. And truth be told, I don't think you can really figure it out. I think it's a lot of luck when you assemble a new team that doesn't know each other, to get them to actually buy into one another, let alone the university that they really have no ties to, because if it doesn't work out, they're gone the next year. I mean, we have free agency in college basketball that makes NBA free agency look boring. I mean, year in, year out. So I think it's a challenge. Nobody feels badly for coaches. That's kind of the narrative we've rolled with, right? And those guys make all the money. No one feels badly. But I'll tell you, it's getting really hard to keep your job. I think that's going to be a recurring theme for a while now. It's really hard to keep your job at some of these Power 5 schools that have all the expectation in the world, Kentucky being one of them.
Well, John, you talk about all the movement that goes on in college basketball right now and compared it to NBA free agency. This hasn't gotten a lot of attention. The NBA has decided to eliminate its G League Ignite team because of NIL. And there's been a lot of talk over this tournament. We know Caitlin Clark is the biggest name. Yep. You know, in college basketball, men or women's side, do you think the elimination of the G League Ignite team is going to kind of help put some more shine back on the men's side over the next few years? Or is this kind of just what it is right now, a free for all?
Yeah, no, I don't really think it changes much, because you look at G League Ignite, you got great talent, but they still need to be developed. Like, those guys don't walk right into the NBA. And they're not superstars right away. They need to learn how to adapt to the game. See, I think what we're really messing up is the fact that college is the best preparation for the NBA, not because the game's similar, but because it teaches you how to adjust to another level. Like, guys come up into college, I don't care how talented you are. You could have been and everybody's a superstar coming into college. Wherever they came from, they were a superstar. The adjustment is significant. The speed, the length, the fact that you have to think. You have to think so much to make it instinctual so you can play instinctual. That's a skill. That's an art. It's something you've got to learn. And that's where I think college is really good for these kids. You also learn accountability. Like, you learn how to be a pro. I think that's something that, like, we say a lot of these things in our social times. Everything is almost, like, deemed to be wrong or right. And I'm saying, how about it's both? You're not wrong, but you might not be right either. Right? It's somewhere in between to say, like, it's not that college is the perfect situation, but somewhere in that nuanced in between, you're learning how to become a professional. You're learning how to behave. And this is, again, this is something we're so careful to talk about, but it's important. If you want to be a 10-year, 12-year, 15-year pro, you've better learn accountability. You better develop good habits. Like, these pros aren't pros because they just show up. They're pros because they develop good habits along the way. They're held accountable, even if the accountability is to their expectation, right? LeBron James is held accountable to his expectation. He's held accountable to everyone else's expectation of him. And he's great because he lives up to it. Did he just do that overnight? No, it's something he learned how to do. And I think that's something that these college kids, they're not really ready for the pro game yet. And part of that is they haven't really learned what it takes to be a professional. So I really do hope that's something that they get out of the game. But I also hope that we can come up with some sort of, you know, rule system. Nobody likes rules anymore, but some sort of guidelines. We'll call them guidelines or boundaries, right? That sounds better. We don't mind that as much. When it comes to the transferring, like, sign contracts, it's going to happen, right? If you want to be paid, you're going to end up signing a contract. At that point, guys aren't able to move as much, and the longer they stay someplace, the better they're going to be overall. They're going to learn how to make things work. They're going to learn how to adapt to their reality. That's what it's like to be a pro, and I don't think that's something they're learning right now.
John Crispin is here with us from Westwood One NCAA Radio, calls the games. Last question for you, John. We're on the heels of this upcoming game, not too long away from now, about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, Clemson, Arizona. But it sounds like, as an overall, you're leaning towards UConn and Houston. Who do you see cutting those nets in Arizona?
You know, it's funny. I really think Clemson's a top matchup for Arizona because of the way they operate in the half court, particularly outside in with P.J. Hall. When you play with a big guy who's a good ball mover like Kyle Filipowski, you know, he's very similar in that sense, good passer, knows how to read the game, ball doesn't stick in the big's hands. They play around the perimeter. They play kind of a five-out, none-in type of offense at time, and P.J. Hall can go in the post. But really, when they play with him around the perimeter, they can control and dictate kind of the tempo, the pace, the overall feel of the game, and it almost forces Arizona into a more efficient-like contest, where it's not going to be as up and down. And obviously, if Clemson allows the game to get up and down, that favors Arizona heavily. You know, I think Arizona is the better team, but the better team doesn't always win the game. Mm. And I think the biggest concern is how they defend the perimeter in, particularly ball pressure on P.J. Hall, because when they get through their options offensively and they get the back cuts going and back cuts into a go-behind three, they really find something offensively where you get defenses chasing. And then if Arizona shoots quickly and misses, that game's going to slow down quite a bit, and then it favors Clemson. So how the game's played may determine the outcome. I still like Arizona. I think they're a team that could win a national championship. I think they will, but I think they're made to be a good NCAA tournament team. But I think the matchup's tough. It's a very experienced and a well-coached Clemson team with a big who knows how to pass.
We're going to see how things roll throughout the course of the night, the next week and a half. John, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on. Where can people follow you on the radio and elsewhere?
Oh, I'm on SiriusXM right now with the Big Ten channel. I'll be there tomorrow morning, and then I'll be there all week next week. But I'm starting to shut it down. We're getting towards the off season, so I'm done traveling. I'm home, and I'm getting to my honey-do list. So I don't know if that's a good thing or what, but doing it nonetheless.
As long as you use an NCAA officially sponsored ladder, okay, for the list. All right?
Oh yeah, oh, of course. I got Werner. We're good.
All right, John, thank you so much. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
You got it. My pleasure. Enjoy.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
I'm at the nail salon. What? I'm at the grocery store. What? I'm at the company. Destination Nail Salon and Grocery Store.
Wait, she's at the nail salon and the grocery store?
I'm at the Combination Nail Salon and Grocery Store. Groceries through Instacart, delivered to my door. I don't have to choose between acrylics and the grocery store.